All right, welcome to the program. I have, if you would notice, I have my Afro-American shirt on tonight.
All right.
So I, I can't be accused of not being black enough. This should do it. Don't you think this
should
do
black,
it?
Stay black, stay
yeah,
black.
This is black. But a white boy gave it to me. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, a white guy. Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. And as you know, some of you may know that I am the founding president of an organization called BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. And this show is centered around issues dealing with the man. We're trying to understand why he's so weak and the black man is out of control. He's afraid of women. He doesn't know how to deal with society, the issues of life. He is being controlled by the black ministers in the community, the leaders, everything. So we're trying to understand why. And so over the last couple of years, we've talked about many issues. And once in a while, there are people who take notice of the show, and they want to come on and talk about some of the things that they disagree with or agree with on the show. And so tonight, my guest is one of those persons, Faye Coleman. She has a show here on this station as well. Right, Faye?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
When does your show air on Continental Cable?
Well, so far I'm sticking with the 6:30 slot every Monday evening at 6:30 p.m.
Every Monday, 6:30. Mm-hmm. So tune in. What is it about? I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know.
Well, the name of the show, the title of the show is The Word, and the foundation is the scriptures. And basically, I talk about all issues, those that affect my people, African Americans, and those issues that address all of us in, as far as humanity is concerned.
Mm-hmm. And you're a minister? You're studying to be a minister?
Student minister.
Really?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Student means that you're studying, and it means that you are not officially, as far as the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which I'm a member of, in order to become fully ordained, education is foremost. Because in today's society, you have to be prepared. You have to study to show yourself prepared. And it's when you're dealing with all kinds of people in this world, you must be prepared to deal with all the issues.
And when you say study, what are you studying to prepare yourself?
Well, for instance, one of the classes I just completed, I'm a student of Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And one of the recent classes I just completed was called Multiculturalism Today. And that class consisted of four professors, one African-American, a Chicano professor, Chinese, and a Korean. And they basically were covering all the problems that we have as a people. If we get to know each other better and understand who we are, then we can get along better. Rodney King asked us, why can't we all just get along? Well, if people don't understand each other and learn to love each other unconditionally in spite of our so-called flaws and understand the cultures, then we can't get along.
And so they're teaching you that at this school, mm-hmm. in order to prepare you when you go out to be a minister, to minister.
Because you're going out into the world that has a multitude of different people.
Really? What made you decide to become a minister?
It actually wasn't my decision.
Who was it?
In the ministry, we call it, and some people may know this term, it's called being called. You're called to do something. And in 1989, I was sitting up in my living room in the dark, somewhat in something like a trance. I was just real quiet and still. And all of a sudden, a voice said, call Gladys. Well, Gladys is my best girlfriend, who was a church-going person. And I'm one of those people who didn't go to church very much. And so many times we had talked about going to church. I'd called up to say, I'm coming, but I'd never show up. Well, as I heard that voice, my wall heater was still vibrating.
It didn't scare me. So you heard it the way that I can hear your voice now?
Just like that. Just like that. It was a loud, bellowing sound. Just like that. And the wall heater was still vibrating. And I looked at the wall heater, and I just picked up the phone, called my girlfriend. It was about 11:45, 1989. Martin Luther King's birthday was on that Sunday. An individual whom I felt a lot for. I love Martin Luther King, as well as Malcolm X and all of our other great black leaders. But basically, I just did follow those instructions. And when I talked to her, we arranged to have breakfast the next morning and to come to church. And she was surprised when I walked in the restaurant the next morning, too, because I was there and went to church. And when they did the invitational, I was the only person that came up to, as they say, accept the Lord into your life. And ever since 1989, I've been on a mission.
Really? And so the voice that said, call Gladys, was the voice that that called you to become a minister?
Yes.
That's how you know that you should become one?
It's not, he didn't call
what
me.
What was the purpose of calling Gladys?
Gladys was my connection. See, there's instructions that you are given that other people, as they say, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, he uses other people to connect you with certain situations in order to put you in that environment.
Oh, that is so interesting.
But that's not when I got into the ministry. That's when I accepted the calling.
Really? And so are you going to be like a minister over men and women? Or are you just going to be catering to women or children?
All people.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, God, do you believe that God has an order of things?
He has an order of things?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he has a divine order of things.
And what is that order?
I believe that his divine order is basically to use all people, whichever peoples he can use to reach out and touch other people to know that he is.
Not what you believe, but what is the order? I mean, do you believe that it's God, Jesus, man, woman, and children? Do you believe that order?
God, Jesus,
man, woman, and children.
Well, in that sense, I believe it's that way. But I think what we're getting into is who's first. And sometimes people get into a real problem when you compare. Like right now, there's the women's lib issue and women and men fighting over who is more power and so forth. I'm not liberated, so to speak.
Yeah. But you believe that order.
Right, and okay. There's a reason for it.
And do you believe it because, why do you believe that order?
I believe that, first of all, God, okay, let's back up. First, there's God. Then there's the people that he reaches down and touches. And the first person he touches, as far as I'm concerned, is the man as far as the family is concerned. Because the man is supposed to be the what's the word for it? The protector of the family. The female is the nurturer. And the child is the seed of those two.
Is that in the Bible too, that order that I mentioned? Is it in the Bible?
Well, in Genesis it does say that.
And so if you believe that order, why do you think God would call you, a woman, to be over men? And because to minister, meaning that you are the head of these men that you will be ministering to, why do you think that he would put you in charge of men?
I wouldn't consider it being a head. I would consider it being a vessel. If you were lying on your deathbed and you needed someone to be there, to hold your hand and the Lord move them to say a certain thing, to allow you to leave this world and into that next world, if I was the only person standing there who knew the word, would you just rather die and not get your last rites because there's not a man present? I'm merely a vessel.
Well, I don't think that God would waste that kind of time. If he wanted to get to me, he'd come right to me. If I'm dying and there's something he needs to tell me, he's not going to wait to tell another person in hopes that this person can finally get to me, a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. He could tell me himself. I don't think that he operates that way. Do you?
He operates that way.
I mean, he can come right to me himself.
Okay, you're talking about more on a personal level.
But that's what he's all about.
Oh, I understand that. But what I'm saying is similar to like people in society who are the outside force. There's the outside and there's the inside. For instance, if you were going to die, you couldn't just be personally just lay on the ground and die. Society allows you to have a funeral. And the procedure that we go through where there's a minister there that says the last rites over you, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
I know that you're here. We're also going to talk about some of the things that you disagree with me about. But let me ask this. What do I want to ask? Why is it necessary to go to school if God called you and he created heaven and earth, he created you and me? Why is it necessary to go to school to learn to be a minister?
You know,
why can't he prepare you?
Not to learn so much to be a minister, but to learn. In other words, if you don't, there's some people who have no education, who are in business and who are very successful. But not all, as you can see, not all people are in business and are able to do those things.
Right.
I think if we're better prepared to do certain things, we might have a better chance. In other words, we sometimes live in a nutshell. At one time, I lived in a nutshell. I was raised in the ghetto of South Central Los Angeles. All I knew was that environment. But when I reached out into the world and started to learn about other people and also began to learn more about myself and other people. I became a more well-rounded person. I'm still on my way to doing that.
But I still don't understand why you think that, and many people think that, because I notice that most of the churches nowadays, they have school and ministries where they teach people to be preachers. But what I don't understand about that, if we have the Holy Spirit in us and God called us, why can't we trust that he would teach us? Because if another man teaches you, he's going to teach you his way, and his way is always wrong. And so all you're going to do is go out and quote and mimic something that someone else has told you, and it's not from God. So that's why I don't understand why.
So are you saying that education, just if I'm born smart, then I don't need to go to school and get an education?
I mean, if you want to learn how to build a house, mm-hmm. you may have to go, but you can take chances and just learn as you build the house.
But wouldn't you build that house? What if there was a storm on the way, and if you knew how to build that house, you might be able to build it faster to protect yourself?
But see, the things of God is not taught in the way that a man would teach us to build a home.
Believe me.
He teaches us things as needed and as we go. Mm-hmm. He reveals and he teaches. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he tells us not to allow another man to teach us anyway. He said, let no man teach you. And yet people are going out and allowing these bootleg preachers to teach them.
That's right. The key word is bootleg.
All of them are bootleg.
I don't think so.
Caesar Murray, Evie Hill, all those guys are bootleg preachers. Pastor Price. Fred Price has a school of ministry. I don't understand that. If they call by God, why are they teaching these people? It just blows my mind. Hmm. And then people are so blind and foolish, they fall for it. They go and they pay their money.
I think we're basing that on some of the reality is there are some preachers out there who are only in it for the money, which is why I think,
Do you know one that is not?
Pardon me?
Do you know one that is not in for the money?
Not in just for the money?
Uh-huh.
I don't know them personally. I know that I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it because I want to reach out and help other people.
But this school that you attended, do you have to pay to go there?
Of course.
And don't you think that's for the money? Because if God called you, believe me, he would teach you. He would show you how to deal with life, how to deal with people.
And
he would guide your way.
Yes. And I fully agree with that.
So then why are you going
to
school?
As a matter of fact, there are things that I was able to do and am able to do to this moment that other people are going to school for. But there are things that I still can't do that I'm developing towards. That's education. It's helping me to be a better.
When you say education, again, you mean study the Bible.
Not just the Bible.
Cultural and all that kind of stuff.
I study culture. There's Korean. There's Chinese. If you're going to interact with people, you need to know how to deal with them. I want to even learn the languages of the other people. I believe that people will communicate with you better if you speak their language at least.
What's the purpose of studying the culture when we're supposed to overcome culture?
You can't overcome something you don't know anything about.
That's why you need God to show you, help you.
I know God personally, but it was very difficult for me when I would walk into a store in my neighborhood. I love all people, but I found it very difficult, and it hurt me when I would go into a store to buy something, and the Korean merchant wouldn't even look me in the eye. As much as I tried to get his eye with my divine love and appreciation, I couldn't get him to do that. My learning from not only what happened in the Rodney King thing, if you notice, after the Rodney King situation happened, there were all these meetings going on and so forth. There were many...
A real mess.
Well,
A real mess by the hypocrites.
Don't you think
that was a mess?
Well, what I'm saying is simply that now when I go in some of those same stores, for instance, I bought something the other day and the merchandise cost $1.06 or whatever it was, $6.06. She looked me in the eye, which was something that wasn't the norm before. Then she said, forget the nickel. And I looked at her and I said, thank you. She was playing Korean music in the store. But I appreciate her culture. Now, there's some blacks that might come in and say, because you're in a black neighborhood, you play some black music. Like what happened on the movie with Spike Lee would Do the Right Thing, when the Italians wouldn't play black music or rather have black pictures all over the walls.
But see, all that stuff is just plain old junk. It means
what is
nothing.
Junk?
Now you got the Koreans looking you in the eyes, and black folks are feeling better because through intimidation, the threats of burning down these people's business, the threat of killing their families, have forced them to look us in the eye, and now we feel better. We haven't accomplished anything.
But see, if before the riots had happened,
don't you agree?
If before the riots had happened and there was an understanding, maybe the riots wouldn't have happened.
The riot happened because you had rowdy people, lazy bums who want to take. And that's the only reason the riot happened. It didn't happen. Nothing positive came out of that.
I hate to say what you said earlier about mimicking and quoting, but some quotes make a lot of sense. Martin Luther King once said that a riot is the voice of the unheard. If people are not heard and understood, then another riot and another riot and fights. Do you know that right now, this city is on the verge of a race war?
Yeah.
And that is because we're all pushed together. If just picture this.
You
if
know
you
what?
Put a bunch of
I need
rats.
You to just hold that thought. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Stop at rat. This guy's jumping
I'll remember
up and down.
That thought.
We're going to take a break and be back in a moment.
Okie dokie.
It's electric. Bond. The Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
We are back. I really appreciate you guys applauding when we came back in the break. Thank you. Okay, Faye Coleman is my guest, in case you're just tuning in. And she hosts a show, The Word, Monday nights at 6 o'clock.
6:30 p.m.
So tune in for that. You were talking about the rats in the black community.
Well, not the rats in the black community. I was saying the rats, and then I was cut. So not the rats in the black community. I was speaking of the rats in the cage syndrome. If you take a bunch of rats and you put them in a cage, they will eventually fight because there's nowhere to go. Well, that's an analogy for L.A. right now. Many of you are immigrants, particularly the disadvantaged, the aliens, so to speak, or those who are getting government funding. Many of you are people who are even refugees. I live in South Central L.A. near the projects, across the street from the projects. At one time, that was mostly all black, some whites and some Mexicans. Now, there are an array of everyone. The blacks are pretty much becoming outnumbered now. And there are Filipinos, there are Vietnamese, there are Chinese. I even saw a blonde-haired white guy walking through the projects the other day, which is, you know, really? Probably still unheard of in some of the areas around town. But he was walking through there like he was a cool, you know, he was a bro. And it tripped me out. But the reality is there is a melting pot. They call it a melting pot. But I don't look at it as a melting pot. I look at it as a collision course. If you bring a lot of people together and you don't teach them how to deal with each other, a fight's always going to break out, and that's what's happening right now. There is actually a race war pending in this city, a real serious race war, because people are now becoming, around my house there's gates. I have to take the gun out to the car sometimes. I carry my Rottweiler in the back seat to go do my show at night. You know, the whole area, everybody's homes is gated up. You go in Beverly Hills and so forth, you're not going to see that.
So the people in South Central, are the blacks angry because
there's
other
anger.
People are moving in?
There it feels like it's a territorial war, just like the gang members feel we have a territory. We were here first, so you're coming and pushing me out. And then you disrespect me when I go in the store in my own neighborhood. Malcolm X also told us that there would come a time when the people in our neighborhoods and that the merchants of our stores and so forth would not even speak our language. Now when you go in the store, you have to, now they're being inspired to learn to speak the language. Why do you think Latasha Howard was killed?
Why are blacks mad? Because they're moving in. They don't own the land. This is America. We can
this
live
is
what
true.
We want,
this
and we
is
buy
America.
What we want. So if blacks don't want anyone to move in, they should buy the land, and they own the land. Why don't they buy it?
If your mind is constantly funneled drugs and alcohol, all I see now in my neighborhood are brothers walking around pushing carts on drugs in front of my house, blocking my driveway so I can't get out so they can gamble in front of the house. This is what's going on in that area. That's the they want to call it disadvantage, but I call it confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't know that they're victims. If you don't know you're a victim, you can't even begin to fix the problem.
And so did that have anything to do with you becoming a minister, you think? You saw the situation in your community and felt for it?
I always saw things. I always watched things, but I was so busy living my own life. I didn't have a care in the world. I would just ride my horses and just have a good time and maybe go out with my family and party a little bit.
Are you married?
No, I'm no longer married. I was once.
You was married. For how long?
18 months.
18 months?
Yes.
To a black guy?
Of course.
And what happened after 18 months? That's a short marriage.
Well, we dated for about 3 years, and we were married for 18 months.
Did
but
you
the
live
reality
with him first?
Is, no. The reality is that we both were not ready for marriage. It wasn't his fault, and it wasn't my fault. It was both of our fault. We weren't mature enough to work that relationship out, but we still love each other.
You love him now?
I love him to this day.
Really?
But not in the stupid sense that I once did.
Are you still seeing him?
No. I believe he's in Jamaica.
Really?
He's a Jamaican.
Oh, he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is interesting. Let me ask this. Do you believe in the Adam and Eve story?
Do I believe in the Adam and Eve? I choose to believe in the Adam and Eve story.
You do. And that story is what to you? What does that story say?
I guess that story is the beginning of life. It's beginning, as far as I see it and the way I'm studying it and accepting it, is that it's the beginning of humanity.
Do you believe that Eve caused Adam to fall away from God?
No.
I mean, do you believe that because he believed in her, he fell away from God?
He allowed her to influence him to do that. That's why God held him responsible, because he had a choice, just like I have a choice.
So you
to
do
let
believe
you,
that?
Of course.
Okay. And so if the woman took man away from God, how is it that you think, or do you think that the woman is going to be able to bring him back to God? Because that's the purpose of your ministry, to bring people to God, right? So how is that a woman going to be able to bring him back if she was the problem in the beginning?
To learn from that mistake and to be an inspiration, not a competitor, to the male. The problem that I see in the black community between the black man and black woman, I talk to black men all the time, I've been in relations with them. And the problem that we have, I wish I had brought a poem that I've written for the black man called "I Love You, Black Man." And one of the things that I say in that poem is to say, "I love you, black man, and I know what's up. And since my main endeavor is and always will be to get to know you better, I have learned to love you that much more. Because the more I know about you, the better we can get along."
What's up with him?
What's up? He's frustrated. He's angry. He is a target. He's a moving target, like Jesse Jackson was at one time as running for president. He's a moving target.
A moving target. Again, I mean, who is after him?
Who is after him? The same ones that would rather see him in prison rather than somewhere getting an education. The same ones that would rather see him on the corner, out of his mind, on drugs or drunk.
Who is that?
That is the system. This system of America was never meant to love African Americans.
Why is it that the black man is so out of it on drugs and
because
and
he doesn't know what to do now. He's so frustrated. Brothers like yourself and other individuals who are trying to make a difference, you know what's up and you're trying to make a difference. But there are those out there who have thrown their hands up, even some of them who have thrown their hands up at the black woman and do not even want to deal with her anymore.
Why don't they want to deal with her?
Because they don't know how to communicate. Communication is the key. One of the things that I learned in my counseling when my husband and I went, but he called it the pebble syndrome. If you keep putting these pebbles in your pocket, eventually you throw them at your mate.
Do you realize that the reason that black men can't get along with black women anymore is because of the hatred that they have for her?
The hatred that each of them has for each other because of the miscommunication.
Do you realize that the reason that he hates her is because of this influence that his mother or grandmother had over him when he was a child? You know how black women are real dominating and controlling? And mean and nasty.
Not all black women are dominating and controlling.
When they were little kids, that dominating mother is the one that caused him to begin to resent her. Do you know that that's the beginning of the downfall?
Well, I believe that can be the beginning in some cases. But black women are the most beautiful women on the face of this earth.
What do you mean by that?
We are the mothers of the earth. We are the first people. Our people are the first people.
So when you said it. So what did I have?
What I'm simply saying.
When you say they're the most beautiful people, women on earth, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Well,
why are they so mean then if they're the first one on earth?
Why are they? Oh, so you're going to say that all black women are mean?
99.9.
You mean to tell me you've been around the world and you've seen and dealt with every black woman on this earth?
99.9 is mean and nasty.
I wish you could have met my mother. I wish you could meet her right now.
You know what? I was just thinking today, I was looking at the news, and I'm looking at how a country is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Oprah show today, and women are complaining now because they're out there working, and when they're working, their children, the fathers are taking custody of the children now.
Mm-hmm.
And now the women are complaining about that. That's not fair. But I remember a time when that's all they complained about. They tried to take the kids away from the men because the men were out there working. They are no good father. They are out there working. And now the role is reversed. They complain and they want to be like us. Now they're out there, they're weeping some of the things that we have to go through as men, and they're complaining about that. And I was thinking, it's so sad that men have listened to their woman, and because we'll listen to the woman, we're going to die.
If you listen to an ignorant woman, you will die.
All of them out there are. Most women, doesn't know what they want. See, what men don't understand about women, women don't know what they want. And it's a horrible mistake to listen to what a woman wants.
And see, that's also one-sided, because if I were to sit here and say that, okay, you deal with women, I deal with men. There are some brothers I've met who don't know which way is up.
Because they've been confused by a woman.
How about if that father was the one who molested him when he was a child? There are fathers, who molest their sons and their daughters. That's been going on, probably more so than women molesting their sons.
But I'm not talking about molestation at this point. I'm just talking about
that has an effect.
How the way we're brought up as men have brought us to a point now that we're so weak that we can't even function at all.
Oh,
and now our whole country is falling apart because women are in charge.
And I understand.
Both black and white and all races. What do you want? What is it that you disagree? Do we have time to get into that? Next week.
Good. Wrap it up.
Next week, we're going to talk to Faye about some of the things that she disagreed with me about on the show. So I'm sorry we didn't get into it tonight, but we will next week. So tune in, tell a friend, and tell a neighbor. Faye, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks a lot. Okay, welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. Last week, Faye and I was talking about many things. But Faye is my guest today. Faye Coleman also hosts a show here on Continental Cable Vision on Monday nights at 6:30 called The Word.
Yeah.
The Word. The Word. So be sure to tune in. Faye is on tonight to ask or talk to me about some of the things that we have talked about on my show in the past. So once in a while we like to do that. There are people who agree and disagree with some of the things that we talk about. And so tonight I'm going to give her the opportunity to at least bring up some of those issues as well as talk about herself. But Faye, thanks for staying overnight. That's why I still have on my Afro-American shirt here.
And I slept in this.
I'm all black. Faye, so you host a TV show here on Monday nights.
Yes.
You are going to school to become a minister.
To study
the Word.
To study the culture. World. To study the world, because you study all kinds of things.
What else do you do? You have a whole bunch of stuff here that you do.
Well, what are you talking about? Let's see.
you're writing a book.
Yes, I'm working. True? I'm working on a book, a novel.
You like to sing and dance.
Yes. Dance isn't on there.
Oh, okay. When you sing, you got to move.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. In that respect, yeah.
What kind of songs are you? Rock and roll or spiritual?
No. Spiritually based. I just recently changed the tune of my music to gospel reggae, and I just, as you know, reggae is a very roots song. It's talking about the truth. Reggae music is true music. So my music is basically the scriptures. To the groove and to this move of reggae sound.
Oh, okay. And you are also a member of the NAACP, National Council of Negro Women.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's an organization it's just like the NAACP, different organization, that's for women. And I haven't been actively involved. I have gone to a couple of their meetings, once with Terry McMillan was a guest speaker there. It's an organization for black women around the country, I believe.
Oh,
and
I see.
They meet and they come to different forums, and guest speakers come, and they basically talk about the issues, privy to women and to society.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and I'll let you ask me what you want to ask. Do black women realize that they are not going to be able to solve the problem of the black family and the black community? Do they realize that, or do they think that they can solve the problem?
Well, I think that society is also helping them believe that they can do it all by themselves. And I don't think that anyone can do. Raising a child is a very difficult thing for two people, let alone one person.
It's nearly impossible for a woman to do it.
What I'm saying is that it's just as hard for a man as it is for a woman. There was a movie called Kramer versus Kramer, which was about a relationship that broke up. It was a deep movie, beautiful movie. But reality was, it was just as hard for him to raise that child, because he had to get a job, and they was going to take the son from him because he didn't have a job. It's hard for anybody to raise a child by yourself, because when you go to work and try to get your child something to eat, to me it's like, I call society a vulturistic society. When you leave that nest, and even two birds got enough sense to know that one of them has to stay on that nest. When one leaves that nest, you know, one always stays on the nest. The other one goes out and flies out and gets water and gets food and comes back. Birds' brains about that big. But they not understand that if they leave that nest unguarded, that those eggs are going to be eliminated by the predators of society. And I liken the black family or any family the same way. If no one is there to guard that egg, then this society is going to eat them alive. And that's what's happening to our youth today.
And in knowing that, let me just first say, it's easier for a man to raise a child than it is for a woman.
Can you explain to me why you believe that?
Because God has ordained it to be that way. He has given the authority to the man.
To raise a child by himself?
We didn't say by himself. There is a point. A woman, her purpose is to bring it, you know, to hold it in her body until it's able to come out into the earth. And then she gives that baby mother's love until he's about 5 or 6. And at that point, the father should wean the mother away from the child, and he take over and began to guide the child in the right way to go. And but the problem is, the father never steps in and take away the child from the woman. And so the child, boys and girls, are growing up with the same personality, the same emotional condition, the same attitude as a woman. And so that's why you see men dealing with life the way that a woman would deal with it. But but when a father, because God has ordained it that way, and when a man loves the truth and loves God, live by that truth, not faking and shaking, but living by it, then it's easier for him to do it. It's nearly impossible for a woman to do it. That's why you had a chaos. Would you admit that most blacks have been raised by women?
What I'm simply saying is that most children are being raised by a single parent. As a matter of fact, over 57% of our families are female, black female headed.
And so look at the evidence of that. Look at the chaos and confusion that we have as a result of women raising children. So if women could do it, why don't we have a normal society?
What I'm saying is that a father cannot breastfeed a child. A mother has to nurture a child from
the very
first stages of its life.
Right.
Once it goes out into the world or gets old enough to be taken out into the world, the father...
about 6 or so, 5 or 6.
Well, whatever. I don't have children as far as the exact numbers are, but I've seen my own nephews and my niece raised. And in one case, they've been raised by their mother, who walked outside in her slip one day to address some young brothers who were trying to talk her son into taking some cocaine. And she confronted them as a man would, because she had to, because she didn't have a father
there. To do it,
I'm simply saying that one of the things that you mentioned on the show was, why are black women so tough and mean? They're so mean. You said that earlier in the show. It's not that they're mean, my brother. They're desperate. Our sons are being killed in the streets. 5 years old, the young brother in Pomona, 12 years old, killed because no one is there, particularly the father is not there. It's not all the female's fault. Our men are going to have to take responsibility for this
problem. It's a man's fault, but if we never really talk about what's really wrong with the man, he's not going to ever understand and overcome it.
I think we have to stop bashing. If you keep telling a child they're bad, 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 they're going to be bad, bad, bad. If you give them positive input, and I think that in this society, our black brothers have been bashed not only by society, but when the women come in, that we now, because women now are, when you hire a woman, you got a black and you got a female, so you don't have to hire the black man. You can't get a job.
I understand that. But first, after this, I want to ask whether you want to ask me. But first of all, the black guy been bashed by his mother. He's been failed by his dad and bashed by his mother. And then he grow up being bashed by society because he doesn't know how to deal with it. And that's all that's wrong.
Just as a black female can be bashed by her father or her mother on the streets, there are females in these gangs just as well as males in these gangs.
And I bet you 99.9% of them, they hate their father because they're not there, and they hate this mother that has driven them to the street.
They also may hate this mother because she was sitting there doing drugs with them, and they had no respect for mama
in my generation, mothers weren't on drugs.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about
mama. But yet they were mean women.
Oh, you said on this mean.
They were real mean.
Well, you know, I'm not, you know, putting myself on a pedestal, but I know I'm not a mean person.
Yeah.
I'm assertive. I take care.
Bring your husband. Let me ask him.
Ask him.
As a matter of fact,
that would be great for you to ask him, because he calls me to this day, and he's never met anyone like me, because he's learned to appreciate who I am as a person, and I learned to appreciate him. I learned to appreciate and understand men better in all my relationships. In other words, I chose to grow from breakups or relationships that ended. Because if you walk around with this anger towards every new person that you meet, that's what the problem is. It's a domino effect. If I keep getting mad at everybody, running to this person and that
true.
Person, you know, then I'm just starting. The problem's just going to continue to snowball.
What is it that you want that you agree or disagree with me about on my show, and things that you've heard of it?
No, basically you had said you're on this women are so mean, and you said women are so, what's the word you use towards black women being so tough on their sons?
Willful.
You know, willful or whatever. And that's what I just addressed. The reality is we have to look at it for what it really is. If there is no father there to help her raise that child, it's only on her.
But that does not give her the right to be willful. It does not give her the right to be, excuse my language, a bitch.
Okay, when you say willful,
these mothers are what they try to do, they try to make these kids be what they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They try to dominate their lives, try to make them do the right thing when they themselves are not doing right. They hate the child's father. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the women on drugs necessarily. I'm talking about these women that go to church every Sunday, that wear these big hats, and you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the real thing. And they hate their fathers, and they're taking it out on their boys and their girls.
Yes.
And they're the one that is creating the gang violence, the drugs in the community, the weakness of the black men, and the young girls who are having sex before time. It's all because the father has not been there. It is his fault. The father should understand this so he can stand between the mother and the child, so that the mother can't destroy the child. So it is the father's fault. But everybody's lying to the black man. They're telling him it's the white man's fault. The system hate you. You need more church. You need more Bible. You need the preacher. You need more sex. They're lying to the black man so he can never wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You need affirmative action. You need something. So they are lying to him, but it is because of what's happening in the home.
It all boils down to what I said initially. If two birds can figure out that one of them has to stay there to take care of that nest, then there's going to be chaos in that family. The family's going to be lost, or it's going to grow up with nothing but chaos.
Or the mother, if she is forced to raise the child by herself, she can forgive the father for not being there so that she don't be this angry woman and pass on that anger to her children.
That's what she should be.
She doesn't have to do that.
That's right.
But it's hard for women to forgive. Women thrive on hate.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is your mother a nice woman?
If you look at her, you think that she's nice.
But she's a mean person?
My mother is just like the average black woman. She's church-going.
Mean.
She's church-going. She's a, you know, sweet kind of a lady. But in the home, she's controlling.
Mm-hmm.
You know how women like, you do as I say, and not as I do, and all that kind of stuff. They like to dominate. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out, all that kind of mess. You know, she's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a nice lady. If you look at her, you would think, oh, this boy got this nice.
I wish you could meet my mother.
But if I met your mother, I'm sure she seemed like a very nice, sweet lady. But those are the worst ones.
Mama, do you hear that? He doesn't know you. He doesn't know you.
I know it's the worst one.
No, my mother is angelic. My mother is angelic.
Oh, my God. That's even worse. Angelic. Oh, my Lord.
Okay,
would you like
okay,
to live with an angelic one, huh?
You're talking about my mama. You're talking about my mama. Where's my gat?
But,
no, mama's cool. Mama's cool.
And see, everybody think mama's cool.
Oh, I understand that.
But mama's working for the devil.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm serious. And we need to understand that so that men can begin to realize that this is true. I need to forgive so I can wake up and become a man and protect my woman and protect my children. Because the black woman is not all this Mother Earth and sweet woman as everybody pretending that she is. She's caused a lot of hell and chaos. And yet, it's our fault. I do want to say that, because if we were strong, the women couldn't do the things that they're doing.
That's
all I'm saying.
You know, and in some cases, believe me, I know that's true, that you have some of those, what you called them before. I call them an itch with a B. But there are some women out there, believe me, trust me, I don't think that you've met every woman in this country or around this world. I mean, you may have been around the world, but I don't believe you've met every woman on this earth.
They are an exception to the rule. I want to add
trust
that.
Me. The majority of them are not mean.
Not majority. Yes, sir.
I would like to know why that, especially you make an excuse when you're speaking about the Koreans. You said the Koreans in this store in our neighborhood. Well, why don't we have the stores there? What's keeping us from building our own stores, and then the Korean won't be there?
We are. Yeah. We're keeping ourselves from doing that. That's
how?
What I'm saying. We're keeping ourselves down by taking the drugs that we're being given, by being drunk every
day? No, they don't give away drugs, honey. They sell them.
But what I'm saying is that if you don't have the strength, it all goes back down to that family environment. If you are not a strong person, it's hard to resist those elements that are out there in that society. If you have a strong mother and father influencing you and inspiring you and teaching you right from wrong and what you should and should not do, your chances are...
Look, this, you know, that's irrelevant, talking about the daddy, the mama. That's something they don't have. What you have to do, and this is what I see, this is the mistake. Everybody's taking responsibility off everybody and passing it to somebody else. If it ain't the daddy home, well, the mama's mean. Well, she have to keep her fist balled up to keep everything straight or shooting or cutting one, because the conditions that that society is in, and she is a woman. But in the meantime,
but that's not the way
kids
with
have
kids,
to
huh?
take some responsibility
but
for themselves if they're not
to,
there.
You can't ask a 5-year-old to make a decision about major things.
I had to make them when I was 6 years old.
We got to take a break, guys. Hold on. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. When we come back, I'm going to let you.
It's electric. Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, we are back. And my guest today is Faye Coleman, the host of The Word. I want to talk to you about the Bible, too, but let's go on to something
else. Let's not get into the Bible. That always causes...
Richard.
Yes.
You want to ask a question?
No,
I'll make a statement.
Not exception to the rule. In my opinion, the reason why the Koreans are buying in the neighborhood, because the black men who own some of the businesses in the neighborhood have to get rid of them because they don't want to hurt the young brothers that's coming through the neighborhood, robbing and stealing from them. I know a couple of brothers who own mm-hmm. businesses just purposely sold them so they wouldn't have to go through the headaches.
Right, that's
amazing.
That's right.
Yes,
your
own black folks.
Yeah, because we don't love one another, we don't trust one another, and we beat one another,
brother
and we don't know
brother.
How to respect one another.
Yeah, that's right.
Why is brother against brother?
Well, actually, that's a prophecy, but it's happening. Brothers against brothers. We can't trust each other. I mean, think about it. You walk the streets, you're afraid that your own brother may blow your brains out. When you go to get in your car, you stop at a light, your own brother comes in. So there's a mistrust that we have, you know, between us.
And why is Hold on a minute, sir. Why is it that way?
All of these different things that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
These children that are running around here with these gats and these guns. Well, these gats are guns. With these gats and all these different weapons that they're carrying at 9, 10 years old, these are the products of the chaos in the black family.
Yeah.
And so they have to go out. They're going out in the gangs are their family.
They don't
have a family.
Yeah, and the easy way to change that is for black people to stop hating whites.
Stop
hating their parents.
Stop hating, period.
Stop hating the world and get on.
Get
and
on with your
all
business.
All that stuff will end.
And quit making excuses and let's buckle up and love each other and understand that it takes two to tangle. And all this he against she and I can do it without you stuff has got to stop, or otherwise we are doomed, as people keep telling me we are. But I don't believe in giving up. That's why I'm doing this.
Yes, sir.
What I want to say, I'm in business myself. People will put on you what you will accept. If you accept, I'm in business. I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been jumped on by people. You're not going to run me away from my business. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to be there and be successful in it.
That happened.
And you are not going to run me away from my business.
Other black people did that to you?
Yes, it was black folks the one doing that. That's the one that's doing it. But you're not going to run me away. I'm going to stay there and take care of my business. And I shot some there, too. Yeah, they'll kill to get it, and I'll kill to keep it.
He said the key word, that was me, you know. But everybody doesn't react to situations the way he does.
Yeah, I know.
And many of us get fed up with the graffiti over the walls and people coming in the store and robbing you, being afraid of every person that comes into the door. And we get fed up, and so we run to other areas to open up. Look, just drive down Compton Boulevard and see all the closed-up businesses. You know, it's a lot of it's out of fear.
Yeah, I think that he has. I think he has a lot of courage. For me, I would say the hell with
that. A lot of people would have said,
"I'm selling this business and move to Beverly Hills
and get the heck out of Dodge."
That's right. What else did you disagree with me about? That was mainly it.
I wasn't just watching your show to disagree. I didn't say I disagreed.
What did you say?
We addressed that.
That was the only thing about the man and woman situation.
Yeah, that was it.
Do you understand now why I say the things that I say concerning men and women?
Well, now I have a better understanding of who you are as a person by hearing you talk about your mother. And
who am I?
And
what do you understand now?
Huh? I understand. And some of your experiences that you experienced as a child have affected you as a man. We're only big children, and we're just grown-up kids. And sometimes we carry those things around with us, I believe. Well, I was carrying some things around with me, too, until I looked in the mirror and said, you can't keep blaming this on what Daddy did or what this person did or Mama did.
Let me explain something. My mother was a nice lady.
Well, I tried to tell
you about
my mama.
When you look at my mother, you would love her. She's sweet and nice. She provided. They gave me food and clothes and shelter. So it was like she would run around like this hatchet woman. But in the home, you know how black women are in the home.
How are they?
With their children. They're mean. They're pushy. They're willful. They're controlling.
I didn't experience that from my mother.
Your mother was more, you said sweet and nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do you realize that those are the worst ones? Because she is being motivated by her anger toward the man, your father.
Motivated by the anger.
Because a lot of women, all of them are not like big mouth women like Maxine Waters. But some of them are real soft and subdued, but they're still, that's still bad for the child in the home. And see, the whole thing is, it bring on hate. And you become like what you hate. And so you grow up dealing with the world in the same way that you were dealt with. And that's all we want them to do is just realize you got to drop the hate.
You got to drop the hate.
When you drop the hate, everything else becomes.
And you got to take care of your responsibility.
Yeah.
So if you make a baby, then you take care of it. Don't run off and start another one somewhere.
But the reason they run off because they don't like the woman.
They still like that child. Their child.
But she makes it impossible for him to deal with the child.
There's a question.
Do you disagree with that?
I believe in some instances that's true, but not in all.
Yes, yes.
Jesse, excuse me. When you say you have to drop the hate, a lot of people see that there is power in hate, and there is revenge in hate, and there is justice.
Especially
when they hate. So when you tell them to drop it, they think you're crazy because they're giving up, you know, a chance to have justice and power.
A woman can have some hate and get up in the morning and make you breakfast, send the kids off to school, clean the house, go to work and work 12 hours, come back home, make dinner, cuss you out and go to bed. She needs all that hate is what motivates women, but it destroys a man. Have you noticed that? I'm serious. That is true. Isn't that true, Richard? Women thrive off the hate. What do you think about that?
It's people. It's not all.
You know, another thing I notice about women.
I just can't believe this.
I do a lot of counseling, and a woman tell a man, her husband, "Oh, you should tell me your problems. You should talk to me. You should share me with me. I feel left out, right?" And the fool, poor man, he go and he said, "Okay, honey. I went out the other day and I slept around. I feel real bad." And she'll say, "Oh, don't worry about it. I'm glad you told me." And then down the road, when he's thinking everything is fine, and then they have an argument. They have an argument because he didn't open the car door to let her in. "You out there with that other woman." And she uses that hate. She gathered all these things about him and she stored away. And men forget about things. They can do something right now and it's over with. But a woman will hold on to it and she get energy from it. She thrive off it and she use it on that man until she drive him crazy or drive him to drink or run him away from the home.
You know, it's amazing how you say that women are like that, because I think about some of these stalkers that are men who hold this anger and hold this hate towards this female who told him simply that she didn't want a date. So he followed her around and one day he blew her brains out because he held on to that hate. All I'm simply saying, my brother, is it's not just about women and or men. We all have these problems that we need to sit down and really address them and stop blaming other people.
And we need to address them in truth and honesty.
Of course, and be honest about it.
Are we being honest tonight about the situation?
I'm being very honest.
And do you agree with me what I'm saying about the way women are and men?
I understand what
you're
saying.
Do you agree or disagree?
Do I agree that all women are mean?
I didn't say all. We keep throwing all in there.
You're saying... You're
inserting all.
99.9.
Well, I mean, that's pretty close to all, my brother.
But do you agree with what I'm saying? Meaning that because a man is weak, that's the downfall or the beginning of the destruction of...
Your program, when I saw that word rebuilding the black community,
and you talk about,
and I even loved your theme song. It says, "Stand up, stand up," and we need more of our men to stand up and take control. Or not necessarily the word control, because that always seems to be misinterpreted. It means to take responsibility. This is your family. These are your children. Even if you choose not to be in that family household, which you should be, but even if you choose not to be there, that child was still brought into this world by you and that other woman. And you are supposed to take care of that child, not have a child by this woman and a child by that woman. And now women are now saying, well, this is Johnny's baby, and this is Jenny's baby. This is Johnny's daddy, and that's my baby's daddy over there, and that's Jackie's daddy over here.
Yeah.
I believe that it should be, this is my husband, and these are our children.
It should be. You're absolutely correct.
You know, but there's too much of the reality is a lot of bastards.
Another problem, too, there are we out of time? Just about. There are no morals and values in the black community.
That's right.
We like to pretend that we have them, but we don't.
We need to get them.
We don't have them. You know, we're out of time again.
Oh, my goodness.
What I want to talk about when we come back next week, are you going to wear the same thing?
I'm going to sleep in it.
Yeah, I'm going to wear my Afro-American shirt.
Well, can we change tops?
When we come back next week, let's talk about affirmative action and all that stuff, all right?
Okay.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Talk about the wardrobe, huh? Men have got to stand up strong. Ain't the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find.